So now I have the heavy burden to summarize what you already perfectly know. Fortunately, I had the help of Eduardo, who did most of the work during the night, so he's very brave. And before starting, I would like to thank Benoît and all the people who worked with him, because I guess at the beginning when he thought about organizing such a meeting, he was not aware of what it was in reality. And we had everything, of course. So thank you, Benoît. That's really good, because we have many friends here, new faces too, which is very stimulating. And I can already say in behalf of everybody that it is already a success, even with the missing bus. That's not a big problem. Nothing has been, I would say, even slowed down. Maybe some beer less at the bar, but that's finished. So I'm glad to say you thank you. Okay, so I will try to be brief, just to focus on fact and on question, and to leave the room for discussion. So I am speaking under the control of Eduardo, and also Thomas, and also Jock, who have contributed to some items. So what do we know on the animal side, which is the issue of this session? So first, we've seen that there are new countries which were not aware in the past of the presence of alveoli in echinococcus in this area. That's Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Lithuania with an impressive number of human cases even. So that's a new fact. Also, we know a bit more about new regions, which is now quite officially said. France, from western to western department, western department, that means a kind of extension from the traditional eastern foci to other areas which were unknown to be infected since years ago. Sorry, we have probably a move in Belgium from the south of the country to the central regions, which is still under exploration. We have still this Netherlands situation that we know since long now, but with this probable increase from south to northern region. We know that Hungary, there is some suspicion that we are starting from the north but going to the south with some sporadic cases in this area. And also we know a bit more about parts of Poland, which were a bit blank in the middle of Poland and now filled by Gabor and co-worker, and also, yes, there are also some Polish guys who presented work. We know also that in Poland, at least in the southern part, close to the Tatras, there is probably an increase of prevalence in the southern foci. We must be very careful because there are many interannual variations for such a disease, but that's a suspicion. And also we know the classicals, which are a stable prevalence, over the last 10 years, because all this countries have experienced a spreading or an increase in prevalence during earlier period. So there is Austria, there are parts of Germany, Slovakia, Switzerland, parts of Poland, and parts of France, the historical areas of eastern France. So now that's a fact. We were here. That's epidemiological facts. Now we have questions. Question about the intermediate host. I start with the more difficult things, because if I had a feeling now that just forget them, that's provocative. They can be useful, of course. So we have to consider that prevalence rates in intermediate hosts are confirmed to be generally very low, 1 per 1,000. So which is not a problem for a cycle to be completed, but it is certainly a problem for a statistician, because we have low prevalence rates and also an over dispersion patterns within hosts, but also spatially. So it makes everything difficult from a statistical point of view. So that's data demanding. So to start studies with intermediate hosts is not really advised, because except if there are specific questions, because we know that's a huge fieldwork to get conclusive results. So a question which comes behind, when is it important to investigate the prevalence in intermediate host? I suppose there are good reasons, and Peter underlined that, saying there are no real good techniques. There are just good or not good questions in a way. So we'll come back on that later. So the consequence is that we should select only target species corresponding to clear question, and that's a bit picking up Peter's remarks, but I fully agree with that. And we must take care not to spend economic resources for micro-mammal species which do not act as intermediate hosts. For instance, we know that Apodemus sylvaticus or Apodemus flavicolis, which are kind of field mouse, are rarely, if not at all, infected due to their diet, due to their biology. So if we pile them hundreds of Apodemus in a list and then make a prevalence, we know that it does not mean anything. Maybe one possibility, if you are really interested in intermediate host, is that prevalence in final host. It may be interesting to work on that if prevalence in the final host is very high. That means 50-100%. You maximize your chance to find something in the intermediate host. But again, I will take Peter's opinion umbrella. You need a good question for that. Okay. There is one point which is still query, in my opinion, that's a need of more information on the role of semi-aquatic rodents, koipoom, muskrat, beaver. We know that in this species, we have prevalence rates which are unexpectedly high, more than 10%, which is not so common. We have this Cervicola terrestris also in Zurich, which is very uncommon. But for water rodents, that's something which is surprising. And we can ask to ourselves, what is the real role of these small mammals? There are two ways to consider things. I remember a study long ago, I am old enough for that, that was probably done in Western Germany. It was the first GIS approach to AE distribution in foxes. And there was one factor which came with the analysis, that was the proximity to water, to stream, it was probably the Wusterhausen group. I don't remember who was the author. And at that time, we say, okay, why not? We know that eggs are sensitive to dehydration and things like that. So, but now, more and more, I'm wondering if there are some cunning of muskrat and or koipu just for control, and if they are left along the river, maybe they can contribute locally, of course, to transmission. We don't know exactly, so probably we need more information on that. We can also wonder if this rodent, aquatic semi-aquatic rodent, would not be some kind of a good sentinel locally again when there is an opportunity of measuring some prevalence, tracking, showing that AE is present somewhere. But of course, if you have fox, that's much easier. Last question about the intermediate host, so-called intermediate host in this case. Are domestic and wild swine useful as sentinel? Again, it depends on the question. Do we have to focus on that except for vet curiosity? But maybe, yes. If you want to investigate the presence of AE in farming areas, why not? Specific question again. So, final host. So, I will not come back too much on foxes because that's quite classical. We know that in endemic areas, foxes have the highest prevalence rate and are quite easy to detect. We will discuss about method after. But in the first approach, we know more a bit about the role of dogs. So we have been shown that 0.8% in dogs of some Lithuanian villages were infected, which is a pattern which is found also to some extent in Switzerland, in some other areas. So dogs are really host, we know that, and we have to take care about that. No infected dogs have been detected in two high endemic French departments, but we know that the sample size, which is big, is actually not probably that big considering the turnover of the infection and also the low prevalence rate, which are generally recorded in such a population. Role of cats. Should cats be more investigated in endemic area? Question mark. That's a question which lasts since... Yes, I was a PhD student at that time, and they were already discussing on that, you know. So now... And so that's a question that's open to your own opinion. And your own... So, role of raccoon dogs. That's a new one. Invasive species coming from the east. We know that there are some prevalence rates there, say something is 10%, very long intestine, obviously. So is it important for the cycle? We don't know exactly. We don't know how to use it. So maybe we have to think about this aspect. The role of wolf in Latua, probably I would say marginal, but we don't know exactly, so we know that it can be infected. And what is quite more surprisingly is there's a new final host which have been found in Slovakia. In general, in my mind, PhD thesis again long ago, don't care about mustelid. They are not suitable hosts, physiologically incompatible because biliary salt cannot make the egg hatch, etc., etc., etc. So I heard that by heart. But now we see that in Slovakia, polecat, badger can get infected. Why? So we have to. Probably there is some clarification to provide at this level because maybe we are missing something. So what is their epidemiological role? So new tools. So we are coming back maybe a bit to the fox. I have been struck by this kind of breakthrough, I would say, molecular method as epidemiological marker to EM. That's new. Because again, some years ago, EM, that was monoclonal, finish. Okay? So genetics in it, except to make a difference with other species, was not really an exciting issue. But Jenny Knapp showed us that now, we go on with that, with this species characterization and also explaining the history of differentiation of species can be bordered by molecular method, which is very fascinating. And you do have good paper, of course, from Jenny, but also from the Japanese group because you work there. But what is interesting also is this microsatellite story, which allowed now to have a fine grain perception of the distribution of EM. So we can mark some reproductive isolation by distance. We can guess that some functional traits of the cycle could be discovered through that. And there's this Mainland Island story. You remember that the hypothesis was in the beginning, do we have an increased awareness or is it a parasite spreading for the emergence of EM in Europe? Actually, we have some indication due to low polymorphism in new endemic areas. That's probably a mainland island story, which is important just at least to understand what happened. And so we are moving to some molecular epidemiology, and I guess we are at the beginning because, of course, there are the work which have been done by Jenny and co-worker, but now I saw that some in Hungary and the Italian group have worked also in this direction. So that's quite promising. So now we have also this question of which tools to use. And according to the fact you are working on humans, or fresh shit, or old shit, Bruno, hello, you have differences. And at that moment, I'm not so clear about what to do as a very standard procedure. Is there any standard procedure? I guess, again, Peter, thanks. You have good question and good tools to put in front before the question, after the question, sorry, rather than any general receipt which could be applied in any occasion, in every occasion. So we can have adult worm, we can have fecal sample. Fecal sample are really problematical because there are a lot of inhibitors. So very often when we work on fecal sample with PCR, we have a decrease of apparent prevalence rates, and we have experienced that in the French group since long. We can use eggs after flotation or not. We can use metacestod, and metacestod can come from humans, small mammals, and maybe we have to think about which method and our strategy could be optimized. Again, clear question. First, second, sampling strategy derived from the question, clear. And then a sampling program, of course, constrained by cost. Okay. Question, so tools and models, biological models, may not be the same according to the situation. You have historical endemic areas, you have emerging areas, you have believed to be free areas. And there was an interesting insight, but that was not our session, so I'm about how to model this, which I've been very interested in that, and there are areas which things are unknown. I guess the strategy will not be the same. Of course, I agree with Peter that epidemiological surveillance in general is not a compulsory option. But even if you are in a historical endemic area, that means a place where you know that there is AE and there is AE at high prevalence, there may be changes. And we have seen that in Franche-Comté with these changes of epidemiological situation, even in humans. Of course, we are not quick enough to trace the foxes because things can change very quick. But I guess even in these historical endemic areas, we need regular baseline. Maybe not every year, maybe every 5 years, maybe every 10 years. I don't know exactly. That it has to be discussed. In emerging areas, that's very different because things are moving quite quick, year by year. We saw that from Holland, possibly. So in this case, you need some epidemiological surveillance system, much more fine-grained, I would say, time and space. And believed to be free areas and unknown areas, if specific question dependent on the environment, I would say. So, yes, Eduardo. Eduardo was interested, and he's right, to think about how to reduce the cost efficiency of sampling. Because, of course, everybody works on one parasite. That means we are working on EM, but some others are working some other parasite, more or less interesting, like Trichinella, for instance. And one idea of Eduardo is that to optimize the collection of data, we have maybe to contact a bit more our colleagues to be capable to make full screening. That means not only EM, but also Trichinella, Toxocara, Opistorchis, Metorchis, Giardia, Cryptosporidium, Tixo. That's Eduardo list because I don't know all these diseases, okay? So that will be almost the conclusion. Yes, is the last one? Oh, yeah, almost the last one. So to conclude, before any sampling program, the most appropriate detection method should be used. Time money saving may be an option. That means for large-scale survey, we've seen that some simplified method can be used, but they must be calibrated. So that's a French option that we have seen from the APSA group. Where burden may be an important information. And again, to choose one or the other, it depends on the question we want to address. So there are no general rules, but we can have some agreement about what to do in good consistent with the question we want to address. So the method should be validated, of course. So there are not that much ring trial seen in this presentation. I wonder if there are not an option to do that at some moment. That means having something which is a bit more broad, with more laboratory involved, which could provide more reliability about the method. That's an old story I like. Do we care about foxes or contaminated feces distribution? So who cares about fox? Which is important is shit. And I agree with Bruno for that. Fox are just shit carrier, in a way. So a vehicle for shit. But you are contaminated by shit, not by fox. By eggs, if you want. Okay. So not so sure, but at least... Okay. Right. Okay, that's it. Yes, after a bite. So what means fecal prevalence in the field versus fox prevalence in the field? And that's the experience we had in France. Again, you have this poster. We are using indirect method as ELISA and PCR, and we had the fecal prevalence, which was 1 in 10, 10 times lower than the real prevalence. So, of course, that's not a problem because you can make gradient, but for a statistician, that's a problem, especially if you have aggregation or over-dispersion. So maybe we need some consensus agreement for the detection method and their use in different programs. So the question I want to finish on that is that the physicians, the medics, have had so far some meetings, some workshops to propose some standardization in some particular fields, which are now agreed and some to be useful. And I am not a public health person, you know. I am just a scientist, so no vet, no medicine. I'm just thinking, okay, which is the main thing. And so the question is it useful or not? Probably that's up to you to decide. So harmonization of questions, sampling strategy according to epidemiological situation for epidemiological surveillance. Can we have some recommendation which could be carried out before the European authorities or the WHO? I don't know. One possibility is that in the next Hydatology Congress, there will be a WHO informal working group We are in China. We have the benefit of a common experience in Europe, and that's unique, in my opinion, in the world. In China, there are not that kind of, I would say, shared expertise. And what I suggest now is that we take the benefit of this meeting to have another meeting between us to discuss about this kind of issue. That means what can be agreed about method, about response to particular situation. And it would be helpful for Chinese people because in this case we can in a way convey or share an experience on a broader scale. But I'm sure it could be also useful for us because there were a lot of discussion. I guess there can be more. Of course, it cannot be also, uniquely discussion. We must lead to some recommendation to be efficient. I cannot guess if recommendation in this field now is really possible. And Eduardo or Thomas, but all the people who are in charge of public health are probably more better placed than me to give the answer. Finish. Sorry. Okay. So how do you want? You want there? So that's open for discussion, or is it okay? So up to you if you have some remark to do or proposition. Or I did my job. Now I can sleep. So that's.
I wonder, because I don't know, if we should focus a bit on seasonality of infection in the final host. If we know that there is seasonality in the intermediate host, then probably in the final host also.
That's a good point. I wanted to stress that during yesterday. I forgot to do it. Because when we are comparing things, nobody tell too much about the season at which foxes were taken. But we know from some preliminary studies that it can be very different comparing winter to summer. And we saw also on the intermediate host side, and it was evoked by Danny somewhere, and also our own work on other species showed the same thing, that at the early spring, you have an old population of rodents with a higher prevalence in this population compared to summer, for instance. At least in temperate Europe, you can have different patterns in Alaska, for instance. But you are right. In this case, seasonality is important. It can limit comparison between countries if things are not clearly stated. Yeah. Fully agreed.
Problem, at least in Italy, but I believe also in other countries, for the final host that can be killed only during the winter time and not, for example, in spring or in summer. Consequently, you have some limitation for the hunting activity.
That's not a problem, that's a parameter.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we agree on the fact that we have to move a step forward about some recommendation which can be a bit publicized or not? That's a question which isn't clear to me.
For me, I would really favor this idea. For the animal side and for the human side. Because for the past years, we had a lot of recommendations regarding the clinical diagnosis, treatment of humans, and we worked a lot on all this, and now it's not definitive and fixed, but it is written, and at least for the next years, we know how we can work. But for epidemiology and epidemiosurveillance in general, I think we need more recommendations and more harmonization and standardizations of things. I would personally favor the idea that after this meeting, people, small group of people who met here could work together a bit more, and for next year in September, so it will be between the 14th and 18th of September, we could have like a draft of something on what we could discuss at the WHO informal working group meeting. Mm-hmm. That would be my own feeling.
Okay.
I think I support Dominique that it's... Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. That it's important to think about harmonizing methods and also for... we have to report to EFSA in the member states about the situation of echinococcus in wildlife and in animals, in production animals. But we already did some work for EFSA in a working group for harmonizing surveillance schemes for echinococcus, trichinella, and other parasites. So there is a document already there. So we don't have to repeat things which are already done.
Exactly, yeah.
Unless there is still discussion on that part. But I think EFSA already has a document on that. Whereas Irene...
Who did that?
No, Irene was coordinating that project. Where is Irene? Maybe you can comment on it.
Yeah, we should probably get around and publish it. Basically, what we've done is addressed some of the things that have been mentioned here.
That's quite strange that everybody here is working on this.
And we are not aware
of that. But good. But I think that the best thing is to start with this document and see if it is okay or not.
I think that's about...
Frankly speaking.
See.
Document.
Okay.
Yes. It's this document is available on the website of EFSA. You can't find it.
Yes.
Yes, problem. Peter can't come because it was not from UA.
Journals, accessible to everybody.
I didn't have the opportunity to introduce myself, in fact, to everyone. In fact, I'm working for General Directorate. I'm working for General Directorate for Food, which is one of the directorates of the Ministry of Agriculture in France. So, in fact, and I am the focal point for EFSA to collect the data about zoonoses and including echinococcosis. And so I was not planning to present anything, but so it is in French, so I'm sorry for the not French speaker. In fact, what you have to remind is that we're working under the regulation 2003/99, which is a regulation about zoonosis in Europe, and this regulation oblige every member state to report data about zoonosis, and we have to report data every year if we have the data, but on this 8 diseases. So we have Brucella, Campylobacter, Echinococcus, Salmonella, Listeriose, Trichinella, Tuberculosis, and Escherichia coli. This is the list A of the zoonosis we have to report.
And what does mean
DS? No, it was for another presentation. And this is the list B, and in the list B you have rabies, you have tuberculosis, you have toxoplasma. So it means that if country does monitoring plan about this disease, they can report it or not, but it's not compulsory as it is for the list A. And so as you see, echinococcus is only on the list A. It means that country have to report something and to EFSA. And so in fact, in simple things. In fact, EFSA is here, okay, and EFSA is in linked with the European Commission. signs the NIC with the European Commission, and is writing an annual report. And this report, you can find it on the website. If you want to know about echinococcosis in Europe, in all Europe, the report is on the website. And you will have the figures from 2004, 2005, and until 2009. Okay. And the report, the 2009 report is still in draft, and we are working on it. And so, in fact, you see there is a... here are the member states. The member states have the data. And here I put myself, so here I am here. Okay, so I communicate my figures, my data, to EFSA, because there is food and animal monitoring, and for ECDC is communicating the data for human side, and EFSA is collecting the data from animal side and from human side, and after they send it to DTU. DTU is a Danish technical university that is just the university. This organism takes the data to analyze them and write a report. And after, it discusses with EFSA, and EFSA write a report, send a draft to the member state to see if they agree or not, and after they publish the report on the website. And in fact, each member state has to send the data before the 1st of May. This is written in the regulation. Like every year, collector has to communicate the data to EFSA. So this is a French net, but in fact, I don't know how it works, but in fact, I am here in DGAL, okay? And Franck Bouet, which is the colleague for Echinococcus, is here. Because there is a focal point, because Franck Bouet is one of the points, in fact, because there is a lot of disease and a lot of tables to fill. So in fact, we have a lot of laboratories, and we have decided in France to have a focal point for the agency, because the agency gives us because I can't talk to everyone personally, but so we have a focal point in the agency, and after this focal point, send me the data. But I decided to talk to Franck Bouet directly, because when he sent me the data, I don't know about this data, so I need to have information about it, because figures alone is not interesting for me. So. And in concrete, this is because we use a software to collect the data and to send them to the EFSA, we use a software. So here, for example, we have you have all the diseases, all the tables, and there is to fill 180 tables. I have to fill it one by one. It means that if I have time, I can ask personally to everyone to command this data. But if I don't have time, it means that I send the data to EFSA, and we need a control from the people that, from you, from people that that makes the data. And if you see, in fact, this column, and here I don't have the choice. In fact, this is harmonized collection. It means that if you send me data that are not fit into this table. It doesn't fit into this table, and I'm here, and if I don't ask Franck Bouet, I don't know about this data.
Thank you for the information, but I feel we are not speaking about the same thing. You have data. Here we are scientists who are trying to improve the way data are collected, so the quality of the data you are receiving. So there is no problem with that. When I say there is no problem, there is probably problem with the data you receive. But the question which we want to raise now, is there any utility to have a better consultation about how to have good data, if you prefer? And so I understand that things have been already done, and you have some recommendation published at European level. I have no problem with that. If the work is done, that's perfect. But I'm surprised that... I wonder how many scientists here have been contacted for that, but anyway. It would be nice to have a kind of evaluation too. All these people who are around the table are people who are producing the science of the moment.
Each of you should have been contacted by the focal point, or you should have contacted your focal point, because after there is a report, because I can show you the report. Okay.
So it seems that we have
it's
a big
here.
Problem.
The report is here, and in fact, this is your data. This is your babies. In fact, this is your babies, and you have to. That's why, because each country has the way to report, has the way to collect, has the method to analyze the echinococcus. So we need to, but there is one report and one table. So we need to have an harmonization. That's why EFSA asked a working group to do a report. There's a report that Eduardo and Frank and they wrote a report all together in order to give to the European Commission advice how to collect the data, which method use. And so this report is on the...
Well...
We can give information. Well, there are two routes in Europe. One is the official route of reporting to EFSA and ECDC, and in most cases, the public health institutes and the animal health institutes are giving that information. And there is the scientific route, and most of those times they are crossing each other. And people here in the room are scientists, but also working in public health or animal health institutes. So that working, of course, EFSA see the problems that the data they receive are not very reliable, are not harmonized, and they want to do something about it. And that's why they install those working groups with scientists from all over different places, mostly working in public health or animal health, but not necessarily. We're sitting together and evaluating what the best way is to give those figures to EFSA in this case. And so we were having a project for 1 year or 2 years, I don't know anymore, and we evaluated what we know, how the figures are, what are the recommendations for the future. But that's not the end point. I mean, there is a document, but we can still discuss about methods because methods are dynamic. And I don't think we gave any recommendations about a certain method to be used because that is different about the epidemiological situation in different member states. So, yes, there is a document now for EFSA, but I think that's a starting point. Or somebody else. Eduardo was in the group. Frank was in the group. Heidi was in the group. A lot of people were in the group.
But
No, 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 no. Only animal side. Only animal side.
Ah.
Only animal side.
Ah, because it was really fascinating for me. Just to discover that until recently, France had the highest number of cases of echinococcosis. And we were, and we have the registry. And at my knowledge, we were never contacted about that.
No, no, no.
Yes,
no,
but
what I would like to... No, just to inform that at least what I know, that each of us has been invited to join this group as expert. I was invited not for Echinococcus, I was invited for Trichinella. Because I was also working on Echinococcus, but just to say something, but what was my experience, but what was my most important responsibility was for Trichinella, of course. And the Trichinella paper has been published, or probably is in press, is in press, I think, now. Yeah, as community, but it's not EFSA. I was invited as Italian person from a governmental institution, not as European Union Reference Laboratory.
A brief comment. I mean, I don't know what this procedure. I'm a bit confused actually, so I don't know what these kind. Who has been contacted for who and what my focal point is. I've never heard of a focal point, whatever that is. But anyway, what I wanted to say, I think we are doing this the wrong way around. I mean, as a governmental institutions, you cannot go to the scientists and ask them to come up with a standardized method without us knowing what actually the official DOM in the various country is prepared to do. I can only say from Germany, when in most states, the authorities, they are not willing to have any fox dissected, for example, because they are worried about the labor costs and the contamination of the laboratories and so on. So they see they cannot do that. So we can have as many papers and statements and documents as we want. They will not follow it. So I think it's the other way around. First of all, I think the governmental institutions have to come up with the idea what they are what they want to do and what they want to achieve and in which way this should be harmonized among various countries. And then the second step would be to approach the scientists and ask them what would be the best way to achieve it.
Thank you, Thomas. So we can pass to the next and last session. Hélène, just a little second.
But I would like to repeat that under the directive or the regulation 2003/99 or 1999, member states have to report. And these reports are put together by EFSA in the famous summary report on zoonosis, which is issued each year. So, and to avoid, so our French colleague explained how it works in France to get this data and to be sure that these data are accurate for France. For example, yesterday I heard from the colleague in Romania that they never recorded any human cases of alveolar echinococcosis. But in the figures of 2009, there is cases. And it's the same for Hungary. So there is something wrong. No, but for Romania in 2009, there is 25 cases, human cases for granulosis, 2 for multilocularis, and 15 unknown again. So in total, it's 42 human cases for Romania. And for Hungary, it's 1 cases for granulosis, 0 multilocularis, and 0 unknown. So this case has obviously been reported by somebody. So, and in the model in France is like our colleague presented. So it's also to you to check how it works in your country to avoid to be surprised by such data. It's your competent authority who deliver, who gave this data. And it seems also for Sweden that the figure for 2009 is 7 granulosis, 0 multilocularis, and 5 unknown. So in total, 12. And it's 12 cases which are under imported cases. So there is two kind of table. So you have to check. So you have to understand how it works in your country. What is the contact point? So...
Thank you, Hélène, for this conclusion.
Okay.